Hey everybody, Shane here. I want to tell you about an exciting event I have coming up on April 10th at the Monocle. Rock Paper Podcast presents an acoustic storytelling event, singer-songwriter showcase. I'm featuring the talents of Dana Michael Anderson, Neil C. Luke of Old Souls Revival and LS Express, and Chris Rader of Clusterpluck. And so those guys will be on stage playing and telling some stories behind some of these songs and all kinds of fun stuff. Real limited seating, intimate engagement, listening room experience. So should be an incredible evening. $5 tickets, you can grab those at eventbrite.com. Find more details on the Facebook event. You can find also more details at themonoclestl.com or rockpaperpodcast.com. So check that out. I would love to see you out there. I'm hoping to make this a monthly series featuring all kinds of my favorite writers from around town. So thanks, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. Check them out in the Grand Center area down there in the Dot Zec building. If you're not in the St. Louis area, you can shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. They got a lot of fun stuff coming up, including Record Store Day on April 21st. So check out recordstoreday.com for further details regarding some of the exclusive releases coming out that day and stuff. But that'll be a fun one. Come on out and participate in Record Store Day. Support your local record stores. And you can check out... They got a lot of fun things going on over there, like with autographs, a lot of signed records from artists coming through town. I know Judah and the Lion just did a meet and greet and signing over there, so you know, keep a lookout for some signed records from them, and you know, all kinds of people. So again, everything's at musicrecordshop.com. You can follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and yeah, shop local.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
I'm Neil.
And I'm Drew over here. On stage
and we're
left.
Coming to you.
We're coming right at you. To your computer, to your MP3 player, to your radio, to your podcast, to the internet. And we are...
LS
Express!
Rock Paper Podcast! Rock Paper Podcast! Rock Paper Podcast, y'all!
Searching.
stops now.
Slashing all the old curtains.
I had to face it, oh Lord. I had to face it on my own. I had to face it on my own. All alone. On my
Allie, try that one more time. Start over. He's recording.
Wait, what'd you say?
My name is Allie Vogler, and I play in the River Kittens. And it is my personal recommendation that everyone in St. Louis needs to listen or go to one of the shows of Allie because they're one of the best St. Louis bands.
Woo!
Well, thanks, Allie.
Thanks a lot. Dang, you're in a good mood.
Yeah, look out. Got those after-show adrenaline little...
There's nothing like that after-show adrenaline. It's hard to talk to people sometimes. You get wound up.
Oh, we're at the law firm.
Oh, sweet. Can I come by?
Come on by.
Okay.
Bye. Are we doing the podcast?
Yeah, we're on. Let's keep all of it.
Let's just do it. Let's just do it.
You know, we like to keep it as real as possible in the band. That's part of it. Sometimes it's a little improvisation.
Just roll with it.
What was that Chappelle bit? No, when keeping it real goes wrong.
So, yeah, you do have to be careful.
So the real
you do got to be careful.
Oops. It's okay, though. That's okay. If we were really pushing out, you know, sometimes that's something to talk about. Some people can't hit their notes unless they're standing up. We don't sing sitting down.
Yeah, right? Yeah, no. We never
We're not in grade school anymore.
We're never sitting, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Did you have to sit down in grade school to sing?
In honor course, we did. We practiced.
Really? You sat?
We practiced sitting down, yeah.
Wow, we had to stand. We rehearsed sitting. When we had to stand.
When did you first start singing in school? Do you remember?
Oh, man, I think I probably started singing maybe fourth grade or third grade. You know what's funny is I think I might have told this once before, but we do, like, I think it was in fourth grade. It was a big deal. We did the Cinderella. We did a performance of Cinderella.
Yeah.
And, like, who you could pick who you wanted to try out for. So you whoever didn't pick anything to try out for still had to go sing in front of the teacher, and then they assigned you
your role.
And so I was like feeling like a little bit outcastish, you know, and I didn't care and didn't want to do it, and so I didn't try out for any roles, and so I sang, and they gave me the laundry. So, like, she's like, you know, and she's like cleaning, and then the laundry gets up and dances and, like, helps her and sings with her. Dude, that's so I remember having, like, we pinned a bunch of, like, clothes to me so that when I was, like, laying down, it looked like just a pile of clothes, and then the pile of clothes gets up and, like, you know, starts dancing and singing and
like
stuff.
A ghost, kind of.
Yeah, totally. It was so
did you like it?
Like, looking back now, I'm like, wow, that's a little ridiculous, you know?
A little degrading. Like, put you in the, like, laundry basket.
I was in laundry, and you know, it was weird. People were trees that were, like, it was weird. Like, people, that's a weird thing.
Elementary
do.
School gets very trippy at times.
Yeah, it sure does.
Depending on, you know, the superintendent.
Like, after the fact, but here's what's weird. Here's what's weird. There were adults in charge then, so they didn't know. Like another example is that when they opened the maximum security prison, they sang Jailhouse Rock at the ribbon cutting ceremony. It's like I'm wondering if our teacher knew that she's trolling everybody harder than anybody's ever been trolled, or if she was like,
I thought she was brilliant,
enthusiastic. Like, oh, ooh, we'll do a good Elvis song. You know, even though Elvis probably didn't write that, you know, I'm sure he didn't. But
right?
The point being that, like, I don't know what the thought process is behind that. Because it's like, we're about to put, like, serious, it's a maximum security prison, Shane. You know, like, there is, well, to be fair, there's, like, medium max and then
right.
max or whatever. So it was a medium max, but still...
Shout out. What was your teacher's name?
Big up Mrs. McClay. I'm with you. Mrs. McClay. It's a great song. I completely agree with your move, but I still want to know what side of it you are on. You
right.
Know?
That's funny. So we'll have to tag her.
We will.
For sure. One thing I was going to tell you, speaking of small towns, we're both from small Illinois towns. The Canton Inn in Hillsboro, Illinois, one of my favorite places to play. Love the fact that you put them on that list. And I want to tell Linda and Andrew, thank you for letting all of our good friends come over there and play and paying us really well and giving us some of the absolute best accommodations over there. It's like a bed and breakfast. And,
you're a big fan of that veggie pizza, aren't you?
They have the best veggie pizza I've ever had in my life. It's like it almost just blows Blackthorn out of the water.
What's, is it thick crust?
Very thick. That's why I mentioned, yeah. So, and they're probably going to be listening to this. And yeah. Andrew McDowell, he's that a hell of an auctioneer. And he got picked up on Funny or Die.
Oh, nice.
And they put some rap music to his... I'll probably pull that up. But anyway, I had to say that.
They've thanked me on there. And I was like, you know, well, thanks for having my friends come play up there.
Definitely.
So, like, I mean, oh, at the Canton Inn?
Yeah. Like,
that's awesome.
You know, I'm just like, I feel... they said, you know, we're not from St. You know, we're not in St. Louis, but thanks for including us. And I was
definitely.
Like, you know, I'm just happy to help people that are supporting my friends. You know
what's weird, Shane, is I feel like I know I don't necessarily share it enough, but I feel strange about the amount of people that don't share. Like, I'm gonna say this: the RFT isn't as like informative on a nightly basis as your Facebook posts are, where you tag these artists.
Yeah, you're killing the game.
Like, I think that is a, like, let's just say this. Let's try, and I'll do my best, since I'm saying it right now. I should practice what I preach. I'll try to start sharing those, and whoever, if anyone listens to this, you should share those, because guarantee there's somebody that you know that's in one of those groups that would sure love the support, and guarantee that they're playing at a local business that probably would love the support. So,
because the underground, it's still happening. What you're doing right now, you're like, he's become the troubadour because he's sharing the news.
Yeah, the real troubadour. Seriously.
Community of you know, making the community happen and kind of keeping it strong. Easter,
I know.
I texted Shane or on Facebook messaged him. I said, hey man, where are the shows today? He's like, hey, I already posted it. I thought there's no way in heck. You would have the Easter gigs.
It wasn't as long of a list, but
it was four people.
Yeah,
I went and saw Bottoms Up Blues Gang, Tommy Holleran.
Oh, he saw three of the four.
Yep, Tommy Holleran was sitting in with them, and then I went right after and went and saw Native Sons on Broadway.
Yeah.
The Native Sons are killing it lately. I really love the direction that they're going. I love every member of that band.
I think it's important to note that we're just going to start on this podcast and let it rip. We're in. Let's roll, folks. You rolling with us?
And I've got questions for Shane.
Yeah, we got questions. We're ready.
I want to know Shane's favorite band.
Yeah, Shane, what's your favorite band?
I mean, that's
band?
A weird thing to say.
I'll say this. If you, I don't think you need to, but if you'd like to separate it by genre or by, like, I like this album and I like this live act, or I like this.
Yeah,
like,
not live. Because he's a live music guy.
That's true.
If you could walk into a place right now, and you could go anywhere to see any band that's local, who would you go see? Might be a loaded question.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. We want you to, you know, people want the honesty, and not that everyone isn't great. Not that everyone isn't great. I'm not. But at the same time, let's hear after you going around and talking and seeing all these shows, and plus being the door guy at hundreds of shows, what is it? And like, I don't take any disrespect from whatever your answer. Keep in mind, you know, you're here with the best band in St. Louis. Right. So, you know, if we don't, you know, say what you will. I'm just really interested.
Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, it changes probably almost daily. Because like, just how my personal taste in music constantly is all evolving. I mean, you know, I have different emotions for different days and things. And some days I'm feeling this way about a certain band, and then certain days like connect to something else. So, but if I have my pick and for a live show to go see, it's probably gonna be like Aaron Cam and the One Drops or Funky Butt Brass Band at Broadway Oyster Bar, because those two are some top-notch shows.
Cam can play guitar.
Oh, yeah. Like a maniac. I mean, and there's, like, an energy that both those bands create on stage. Like, I mean, they're very different sounds, but, like, the way that they run a crowd through that room, and it's, like, just awesome, man. And, like, but, you know, given the certain nights, I mean, you get Sean Cannon's Voodoo Player down there or anything. Totally. Like, all those guys, like, they just crush too, and like there's a bunch of great bands, and like I'm also very active in the modern rocks down to Pops and everything too.
Sure.
And like, but I don't know, for me, and that's why I started working there, was like I just love the atmosphere created at Oyster Bar, and you know, so a lot of my favorites play there, so it was just natural for me to get a job there, get paid listening to great music. So
that's a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Keep you around the culture.
And yeah.
Keep you around the rock and roll.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I love it all, man. I'm like, but then, like I love what you guys do. Like, I love the singer-songwriter stuff a lot. Like, and that's a big part of my, you know, taste and stuff, too. Like, I mean, so, I talk about him a lot on here, but Will Hoag, you know, for as national stuff, I mean, he tours all over, but he's one of my favorites to catch a live show for him. So...
is he out of St. Louis too?
No, he's living in Nashville. But okay.
It's cool having people that, you know, your favorite people sure. that are still alive, you know,
to oh, yeah.
touring and acting.
Yeah, I mean, Will's one of my favorite storytellers. Like, I mean, he's got some of the most beautiful songs, and like, just, you know, one song in particular called Strong. Actually, he sold it to Chevy, and cool. they you know, put it on one of their commercials and stuff, and like, so that was a pretty big deal.
That's great.
And
I think it's a
like a rock.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like a rock.
No, that was a
strong one.
That was Ford. Yeah. That was Ford, right?
They like that theme. Right. They like that.
It was an
right.
It was an interesting story. He so I saw him, and he shared the story behind it. Like, and he was like saying how, you know, he had this record coming out, and he had started kind of emailing up to some friends and like, hey, what do you think of this? You know, some of the songs. And and then, like, I guess they forwarded it on to Chevy and, like, hey, you need to hear this. And, like, and Chevy got back to Will, and they were like, hey, we love the song. We want to, you know, use it. And then he said something in the story also, like, that they were like, yeah, Mr. Hoag, let me ask you, what kind of vehicle do you drive? And he's like, well, I have a Toyota Prius. And he's like, you know, he's like, I'm going to have myself a Chevy real soon, though. You know, I was like... But
yeah. And they sent him a Suburban.
Did he get one?
They sent him a Suburban and $1 million.
Yeah, right.
They should have.
Yeah,
you know, it's so strange. You would think that's what's weird about, like, the music business, in quotes. Like, you would think that a musician that's selling their songs to Chevy or whatever would be, like, in good shape to be doing whatever right. from here on out.
So.
You know what I mean? But it's like,
just give him $1 million.
If it's right. If it's just a fluke,
I'm gonna see though, how much.
You know what I mean? Like, sure. If it's just like a, because you know what's funny is I hope that I hope that this gets tagged in there, but and I hope that I'm not supposed to say this because that'd be funny too. But like LaPons got like a bank approached. Her and was like, hey, we want to use this music for this rollout, and they paid her and then they were just like, well, actually, let me start over. They said, hey, we're not going to go with your song for the rollout, but like, here's the money that we promised you. So they didn't even use the song and she still got paid. But it's like, it's crazy that, like, people are, you know, on that level reaching out and things are being nationally or even to, what would you call it? Like, what's the demographics, like, split up? Like, you know, regionally, that's right. The term. Regionally, like, separated to where it's like, because I imagine for the Le Pons thing, they were going to roll that out. Like, her stuff sounds, it, honest to goodness, if I saw a commercial and it had that stuff on there,
you'd want to find out who it was.
It would make perfect sense. Like, it's got a very pleasing, welcoming sound, that album.
Do you remember when Mitsubishi used Telepop's music Breathe for one of their remember that?
Telepop?
Yeah, Telepop music. You ever heard of it? Uh-uh. Okay, by the way, Chevy alone is worth $10.3 billion.
So for a song, no big deal.
So for a song, they could give him...
$10 billion.
They could give him a million. Not just whatever.
Right.
$10 billion.
Yeah. I mean, there's commercials. Yeah, that's a whole situation, isn't it? We're just trying to write one hit.
Right.
All we're waiting for is the one hit. We may have it, but it just needs to be produced right. All right,
I want to say this. Listen, I had this crazy thought. I had this crazy thought yesterday. All right. So... buckle up, I'm serious. This is about to get weird. Alright, listen. So what if, like, alright, think about it like this. Think about the fact that every artist has been pushed in our face. Everyone from Bob Dylan to Lady Gaga to you name it, like,
with regardless documentaries. Or,
No. I'm talking about there was a time from Elvis to Nat King Cole. What I'm saying is even people of like Nat King Cole, he's a black man. He's a very accomplished pianist, mm-hmm. very accomplished singer. He rips, okay? But the point is, I'm trying to say that everything we know musically has been a corporation being like, yeah, we'll put money behind that.
Columbia.
Here you go. Exactly. That's what I mean with Dylan. And I think Dylan's great. And I think there are also things within this paradigm that are good and valuable and genuine. But my point is that now it's a contrast with the time of the internet. And this is a dead horse or, you know, a poorly tuned bass drum. It's been beat. You know, it's just been beat to no end. And so... my point just being that, like, now we exist in a time where everything is being sort of recorded and everything's being captured. And it's not just a matter of, like, because people will say that artist development is dead. Like, you know, Bruce Springsteen made the first two albums and then, like, what people will say is that no one would have gave Bruce Springsteen a chance now. Like, if, you know, because... artists were given money to keep touring and keep on the circuit. Yeah,
and to write more albums. They used to give them more right. time,
and money. Think about it. They're like doing it all day.
They nurture the artist back
all day, every day. That's all they do is write songs. So I'm not saying that something good can't come from this model. I'm simply saying that it's very interesting to me that music has basically been like Christopher Columbus up until right now, to where it's like it's been funded by another thing that someone goes, yeah, that's a good investment. Yeah, that's like good enough for us to sink dollars into for people to be into. And occasionally, culture and commerce and, like, you know, good thinking and morality, they all align, you know, or whatever.
The '60s, man.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Sometimes culture and commerce can come together in a way that's very good and, like, it's promoting good ideas, but not
and
all anti, songs.
Anti-establishment
exactly.
stuff. They were putting out protest songs.
Yeah,
big corporations were putting out protest songs.
That's, like, just
day.
A small chunk, though. Isn't that weird? Right. Where it's just like, hey, oh, cool, the counterculture, the 60s, they did these anti... But now it's just like... but even then, it's like the Sex Pistols or something where... they knew they could make money off anti-establishment songs, so it still got put up. So it's, I don't know. I had this weird thought of, like, everything we've been fed has just been from financial backing.
Yeah.
Financial aspect of, like, yeah, sure, have your little movement. cool, but just can you get their, you know, let me see the receipt. Let me see the bottom line or whatever.
Right.
You know, it's strange.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. That, I mean, it's kind of a weird, you can kind of get into the conspiracy of it too, like the fact that, like, you know, there's people funding certain, the protest part of it and stuff just to keep it aggravated, the whole, you know, keep poking it at it and stuff and, you know,
sure.
That kind of thing too. So to balance it all out.
Yeah.
So
it's strange. I'm sorry to go on that 25 minute rant, but, that is true. I was just thinking about
yep.
that.
Yeah, man.
I think, though, that what the overall point with this is that with the internet and with the access we have is it's like you don't – I went so many years without listening to the radio. You don't listen to the radio.
I don't listen to
you
radio.
Know what I'm saying? It's totally. Like we're at a point now –
I'm going to pull up that Andrew McDowell auctioneer song just for while
yeah,
we're talking
let's
about
play this.
And
check
just,
out
since,
this.
Since we can do this, this is a good friend of ours. From he lives in Hillsboro, Illinois right now. I grew up with him in Vandalia. He was 2 years older than me.
Sounds like you're warming him up. I love that. You got an intro.
We got to get
views. How many views?
29K.
29,000?
Yep. So we need to get Andrew to producer because there's one other guy doing this right now. And we're going to blow up the auction block, auctioneer, folk pop, rap revival. And he's just the man to do it. And there's his cowboy hat right there that I bought off. Anyway.
It's funny because amidst all this, I think we've talked about this and we were like, well, what? Has there been a song that has... And then it's like...
Oh, right.
Sold to the lady in the Big Mac Grand. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going,
man.
I'm going once. Going twice. I'm going. It'd be funny if we did. It'd be funny if we started with that song and then we go, going once, going twice, and then it cuts into. No, yeah. That's even funnier. That's even funnier. That's even funnier.
In mind, see what life has left behind. Take a long, hard look at me. I've lost my mind.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And then it resolves with going once, going twice.
So, little lady in the Big Bear. But no, it'd be funny if it was like going once, going twice, I'm going. And then it cuts to Andrew being like, ah, yeah.
You gotta do that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Sorry. Andrew yes. McDowell, we love you.
Yeah, Andrew and Linda.
Yeah,
Canton and Hillsboro, Illinois. It's
I'll be there soon, Linda. Sorry, I've failed. I've let you down a couple of times. I'm sorry about that.
But it'll be worth the wait. It'll be worth the wait. Yeah, Allie Vogler steals, you know, Jacob Baxter and Neil for a night when we're supposed to be there, you know.
Yeah.
Neil, how many bands are you in?
So I'm in Old Souls Revival. I'm in LS Express. And I'm in Allie Vogler and the Dirty Details.
And Backwash.
And Backwash. That's true. Yep.
That was a heck of a show. You they played to a very, very large crowd at the Ready Room last week.
Boy, that was wild. You heard Backwash? You done a podcast with Backwash, Matt?
I've been trying.
Matt and the crew?
I've been trying.
Hey, Matt Maher, there's no reason to be stuck up. There's no reason
Matt,
to be shy.
Why are you being so weird about doing a podcast with Shane, bro?
Come and face the people. Give
yeah,
people
bro, we see you. We see you being weird to Shane. We don't like it. We don't like
it. Bring your mandolin on the podcast and show how versatile you are as a musician.
Yes. You can do a, you know, I'm sure he'll be willing to talk with you about Fourth City.
We did do a Fourth City one.
Oh, really? What was that like?
It was pretty wild. We had a good time.
Yeah? Where'd you do it?
At Loud House.
Oh, okay, yeah. Shout out to Zach Gibbons.
Yep.
We love you, Zach.
Zach Gibbons, thanks for answering my calls when I have a question about recording audio. And I ask you about what's the best way to mix a single iPod video. And he gives me really, really good information about how, you know, if it's really, really bassy, you just pull the bass down. How genius is that? No, but he says if you can't hear the highs, actually pull the bass down because something's clouding it up. But never go too big on, like, you know, pulling up your levels because it's all just going to be this big wall of sound. And he's like, I've been noticing that you like to do that because I like my stuff to be loud because, you know, they call it the loudness game. You know, on your phone, you want it to be loud, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Gibbons offers some very, very good advice, and I love him.
No, I respect that. He's right, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that was quite a while back. Like when around, I think we talked like Hot Damn and all the.
Yeah, they put out a record. I actually just maybe yesterday or the day before got like one of those Facebook memories about their album release at Off Broadway. Yeah. So yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, I'd be but I'd totally be on board for a backwash one someday. I
think you got to. Hey, Matt, Brando, yeah. Gibby, come on now, bub. Drew's got a list of stuff here.
I was gonna say you want to let me here, let's just
let him read through.
Yeah, that's funny. I was gonna say let me ask you. I was gonna interview you guys.
Go ahead, Chain. What do you think?
Anything interesting? A lot of those are based around you. I was also gonna ask you, Shane, just a real quick.
Yeah.
If you were to get married tomorrow, although I think you're already married, who?
Stacey's married.
Right. Who would you have play at your wedding?
Oh, geez, huh.
I didn't know if there was like some band you
I feel like that's kind of the same question that we already asked.
Maybe.
Would it be Aaron Cameron Funky Butt? Would it be Aaron Cameron Funky Butt?
I mean, Funky Butt could be a fun
dude, they would
Funky
slay. They would slay.
They would get on the sleds and just come.
Okay, let's go through. I would have Al Holiday.
And there you go.
He would play my wedding, you know?
Oh, wow. Who would have?
We would have the best time ever.
There you go, Allie. Fred's going to marry you. Al Holiday's playing your wedding. This is the real deal.
Who would you have play?
Oh, Lord. Tom Petty.
Who would you have play that's alive?
Probably Old Soul Survival. You know what I mean?
I don't.
Or I could be like...
You know we're playing Molly's wedding. Old Souls is playing Molly's wedding.
What other weddings you got coming up?
Well, you and I are playing Kara's wedding.
We're playing Karen Adam's wedding.
Karen Adam.
Yeah, very cool.
Totally.
Right.
Metallic sound. Anyway, I looked up. I wanted to give everybody a factoid. So the talking.
Here we
blues,
go. Here we go.
So you don't ever the talking blues. It's like rambling out of the Wild West, leaving the town we loved the best. Thought I'd seen some ups and downs. That's why I went ahead and come into St. Louis town, downtown, damn near going down to the ground. Construction every day and night. So I first got introduced to that kind of that style, you know, by Bob Dylan, of course. Woody Guthrie did it, but I have here the first talking blues song was recorded. Neil, this ties in with what you're saying, by Columbia Records in 1926.
Who is it?
I don't know. His name was too weird for me to pronounce, so I didn't write it down. But some of the main talking blues singers were Blind Blake, Willie McTell, Pink Anderson, and Woody Guthrie. And we were going to try to do talking blues for the entire show. So like,
we thought about it.
Shane came up to the Willie McTell law firm, and once we got up there, we didn't know what to do. And Neil just went straight for the matches. And then he does a song. He knows all of Talkin' Seattle Blues, which is a Todd Snyder song. And I tell you what, that song's got a lot of lyrics.
Anyway. You know, they used to say that Woody Guthrie would go on for like 35 verses. They used to say you would be shocked at how
for sure.
You would think he'd have to be done and he'd go on for another 15.
He's got a song about Charlie Lindbergh that I just can't believe how many verses. And I also
Charlie Lindbergh?
Mr. Charlie Lindbergh, he flew to Berlin, got him a big iron cross and brought it back again to Washington. In Washington. And it says, so Hitler's and dude, all you American people, if Hitler's gonna be beat. Beat him on the land and beat him in the streets. We get home back to Washington, Washington. Lindy said, Annie, we'll do our very worst. Unless on your dollar bill you call American first, but it's actually American worst. Washington, and Washington. But it goes on and on. It talks about the whole World War II, Charlie Lindbergh. It's insane. It talks about the Panzers. It goes on. It's just, and then Charlie Lindbergh is from St. Louis, right?
Yeah.
The spirit of St. Louis.
Let's Google it.
Anyway, yeah, some of that talking blues stuff is crazy. So I wanted to just mention talking blues. It's something Neil's really good.
Yeah, we can still do that if you want.
We can do that if you want, but I don't know how much fun it would be to do it. Anyway.
What do you think, Shane?
I love it. I love it all.
I love it too.
What's on the list? What's on the docket?
There's some interesting stuff on there. We get deep. I was gonna like ask Shane like the first time he knew that he loved music and let him know that he truly is the true troubadour. I can call him on Easter and say, where's the bass? He feeds them to me, like, with a spoon. And I go there, and I went to Lynch Street, and they had a freaking potluck. And I walked in there, and she goes, the bartender goes, what can I get you? I go, I just want a burger. She goes, honey, we've got that whole potluck set up in there. We're not serving food today. Everybody brought that. I go in there. There was rosemary potatoes, red beans and rice. It was a smorgasbord.
Where was
this? This was a Lynch Street Tavern.
Oh, and my Tommy, gosh. Tommy, I'm so sad I didn't
Tommy
go.
Tommy Howard sat down by me, and we were trying to talk Gabriella to eat some. He's like, I ate it too. So it was good. It had Tommy's approval. Anyway, because of you, I was there. You're helping me live my life.
Well, happy to help, man.
Yeah, seriously.
That's what it's all about, man. That's how I started doing them, because like everybody was like, oh, there's nothing to do in this town. And I'm like,
oh, I know.
7 days a week, there's great music. I mean, and that's...
it's insane. I'm going to read the list tonight while you're still talking
about it. Well, why I started doing that, like, and that's what's kind of crazy. You know, you mentioned like Facebook memory popping up. Like, mine's popped up a while back where like there was only like 4 or 5 shows on a Friday, Saturday night. So it's like... For me, like, that's really cool to see how far the network's got.
Part of that's your immersion, right? Or is it, genuinely think that there are only 4 and 5 shows?
That's all I knew about at the time. Like, I didn't, So, like, and now I've learned, of so many more, as I've dived headfirst into this music, the network, spawned out so far to where, now I'm listing like 40 shows on a Friday night.
You're listing stuff that I'm like, how did you even hear about this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's cool because,
even some of our stuff that we post the day of, I don't know how it's like you just find it.
He was saying he likes that.
He clearly doesn't unfollow people.
Totally. It was cool because he was talking about that pop scene and stuff, and it's like, that's something that's very foreign to me, but seeing all these bands that are heavy and rocking and, ripping, and that's it's a cool little... cool thing, because I get exposed to a lot of things that I wouldn't necessarily know about because of you too.
But Alligator Wine? You ever heard of them?
Yeah.
How about the Bedlam Brothers? I keep hearing them. I've seen them a lot. I see the name. Leslie Sanazaro and Jeremy Siegel Moss. I really like those people. Naughty Professor at Loop Rat and Atomic Cowboy Pavilion.
They're at Loop Rat's on Lo-Fi Charity.
There you go. Yeah. Vinyl Theater. Don't know them. North Mississippi All-Stars, heard of them.
Really? Where are they playing?
Delmar Hall. Yeah. Look, he knows this off the top of his head. Christopher the Conquered and LaPons, they're off Broadway. I saw that.
That's tonight?
Yep. Who's DJ Daniel...
Sex Hour?
Yeah, I keep seeing that name.
Yeah.
He works at a music record shop.
Yeah.
Cool.
Lives out in Dogtown.
He's an urban chestnut.
Everyone go TP him.
Hamilton at the Fabulous Fox. Is that stuff that Sleepy Kitty's involved
Dude, Hamilton's come...
Is Paige and Evan... Are they there?
All right, listen, folks, I'm going to tell you this.
And we got Tortuga and the Town Cars. Bill Streeter said that the Town Cars are amazing. Tortuga, we know that's...
Real quick, I want that everyone that's listening right now...
Do it. Promote.
To understand that Sleepy Kitty put out a album that's it's a tribute of sorts to songs on Hamilton. And I would recommend that you go get it. And... also, while you're there, grab Flux, their record they put out before that. I would recommend checking them out. Sleepy Kitty, do your work.
And Google the video, because Paige has a video of that.
For the Hamilton?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Oh, she does on Electropolis. Go ahead and go to your
Tim
video.
Tim Gebauer.
Yeah,
we know you're listening because, how could you
Tim.
Not tune in, because your friends are there to comfort you, Tim, as you sit in your beautiful recording studio and hang out and chill and eat at the Mud House and beef.
Siri, call Tim Gebauer.
I'm going to go through some more. So Tortuga.
Call Tim Gebauer.
Billy Barnett, band at BB's Jazz. Warren Hall and Max Price at Funny Bone.
Yo, what up?
What's up, Tim?
Oh, not too much. How you doing?
Tim, you're on speaker.
Tim, you're on speaker. We're doing a podcast. We just wanted to see if you wanted to plug Electropolis real quick.
Yeah, because we're talking about how cool your videos are.
Right on.
We're just being fun, as you know.
All right, so that's it. That's it. That's all you got.
Well, everything's on sale right now.
Come down. All right. Noted. That'll be the ad at the front. Thank you for sponsoring the podcast, Tim. I love you. I'll talk to you soon. That's hilarious. That's great.
Okay, so J.R. Gears and Kevar Black at Spoke.
What?
Is that on? It spoke to, is that on
Dude, Cherokee? That's Cherokee.
Yeah.
Totally. We got. let's see, we got Jay.
Drew, I got a question. I don't know all these people. I got a question.
Tommy Hollorin's playing at Robust Wine Bar. There's so much music,
Drew.
You can't shake, you can't do.
This is going to come out in 2 weeks. No one's going to know. All these bands are going to be broken
that's
up.
That's right.
So, listen, Drew, I got to ask you, based on this list.
Yes, I got a whole other page.
Hey, what was the first show you ever played in St. Louis?
First show I ever played was Wildflower Restaurant Bar and Catering through a karaoke machine.
Matthew. Yeah, when was
oh,
it?
Oh, no,
when
hold on, hold on. That was my first solo show. The first show I ever played was at 10 Mile House with Old Capitol Square Dance Club.
In St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Where at? 10 Mile House?
10 Mile House. It's actually in Afton.
Afton.
And it was the real
deal. So what's the first show you played in St. Louis?
Oh, for, I guess off-Broadway probably, man.
With Old Capitol. Yeah.
Old Capitol used to get all these cool gigs with these big openers, like Whitey Morgan in the 70s.
You know why? Because they're a great band.
They're really, really good.
They're great.
And that's when I first started to meet Pokey and run into him, and he was always so sweet to our band and had good things to say, and he was friendly to even my parents, and he knew that we were from Illinois, and he knew all sorts of stuff about me, which kind of freaked me out. And I asked him how he knew, and he said he had a photographic memory. And he said his name was Drew, too. Pokey, thanks for being the biggest inspiration.
Yeah, man.
Around town, for real.
That was such a cool moment when you guys got to jump up there with him, like... what was that, December?
Yeah. Or something like that? You were there. We were standing there together.
I didn't make it over.
Yeah, Pokey, I don't know why I thought you were. I think it was actually Tim Barrow.
I don't read the papers, don't watch the news.
Neither do I, Pokey.
If I did, tell me what good would it do? Mess with my mind.
Yeah, dude. I'll tell you this right now. That was shocking to me.
That was the first time I've seen Neil a little bit more timid than I thought he would be.
So it freaked me out, dude.
It did. Neil looks over and he goes, what? He goes, tell him how that happened. So Neil sees him at Munhouse that day. And Pokey had just sold out 4 shows at Off-Broadway.
Right.
And
I go,
anything happening lately?
I go, you up to anything this weekend? I'm like an idiot, you know? Like, meanwhile, he just sold out 4 nights at Off-Broadway. And he said, yeah, I'm doing that show at Off-Broadway. And I go, oh, man. I slept on getting tickets. I forgot, man.
He says, who do you want? I'll put you on the list. Who should I put on there?
Well, actually, he goes. Well, here, take my number. I'll shoot me a text if you can make it. So he gave me his number, and I said, "Hey, can you put me and Drew on the guest list?" And he said, "Absolutely." And then
that was like Christmas. That was like Christmas time for us.
Dude, right? That's weird. It's wild.
I was hoping we'd have Pokey's riding on the guest list, but it just looked like some door guy's riding. You know,
it was wild, man.
My favorite part was that video, a cell phone video of you guys. Up there with him, and then Drew does his whistle, and then Neil just starts cracking up like it was.
And he knew that I didn't have a harmonica because I love that Ryan Koenig plays that part, and I love that song. Cairo, Illinois.
Song.
That's off
great
his second
song.
To last album, which is.
No, it's from his first album, but remember.
Well, yeah, I guess so. He does it twice.
He re-recorded it for that Something in the Water album.
Yes, and that's a good song. That song...
Yeah, that's a great record.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't listened to Something in the Water, that's another one. Go listen to Old Capitol Square Dance Club. Go listen to Pokey LaFarge.
Listen to Rock Paper Podcast.
Listen to Rock Paper
Podcast. And also,
Podcast.
If you know somebody... Who wants to sponsor Rock Paper Podcast? I think Rock Paper Podcast is looking for some more sponsors.
I would say that's a great thing to do because they reach a lot of people. And also what's cool is you get to reach out to different little crews and clans of people that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That, you know, may need to know about this kind of stuff, you know?
For sure.
It's awesome.
I think I ran into Pokey one night one afternoon on Cherokee. And, I think he was like just getting back from the gym or something like that. And I think I might have spooked him.
I don't want to meet you in a dark alley either. Late night, no, down the road. You know what I mean? It's like
I was down there hanging flyers, and I ran into him, and I was like, and I said, hey, and you know, and like, it wasn't trying to be like, you know, creepy or anything, but I
don't
was like,
don't be punk and punky man. Come on now.
But I am like twice his size, and like,
for sure.
I was like, you know, just saying, hey, and introduced myself, and I was like, hey, man, if you ever want to hang out, I'd love to. And he said, you know, he's at the point now where I have to go through people, so
for sure.
I tried,
for sure.
Yeah, I tried to arrange something, but they said not at the time. Like, at the time, he wasn't promoting the record and stuff like that. But
how long ago was this?
Last summer or something like that. And
see, I listen to Pokey on podcast down in Nashville. He'll just, you know, on his Instagram or something. Yeah. He'll say, hey, tune into this. I'll get on the online radio. And there's Pokey down there in Nashville. Having a good time.
I think it would be pretty sweet, though, like, just to get, I mean, just pick his brain and get to, especially somebody that represents St. Louis on a national scale like that now.
He gave a TED Talk. I don't know if you knew that.
I don't know if
he gave a TEDx Talk. Yeah. He's knowledgeable. He's very knowledgeable.
I would say that'd be cool to get his...
about music.
He knows a lot of historical music.
I mean, music, he'll give information. Me guys to listen to that I've never heard of, and I'll go home, and I'm like, how did he know that I would like this? Some older guy with a Greek fisherman's cap. I've got them all written down in my notes on my phone. Good music.
Yeah, I definitely
mean. He really knows. Some tunes.
You mentioned Bill and Lo-Fi. You guys are playing Lo-Fi this year.
We're playing Lo-Fi. It's the first time, I think. I've been on. I think it's the first time we both been on.
First time I've been on.
We had to create a little musical project together to get on.
It's weird.
Attention. And yeah. I also ate lunch with Bill Streeter at...
When was that?
2 weekends ago on a Sunday.
What did you order?
We shared a pizza.
Oh, it was on it.
What? Oh, which one was that one? Oh, Lord, I don't know. A bunch of veggies. I love veggie pizza.
Yeah, Drew's that veggie pizza. I like veggie pizza, too. You know.
But it was a pie, and we all liked the fact that they let those protesters hang out at pie.
Oh, pie's great.
We love pie's that. Got good I like food. That progressive pizza place. It was really good. Then also, somebody got a gluten-free pizza that was amazing as well. Gabrielle did, and it was really, really good.
Yeah.
If
you can buy pizza, keep up the good fight. People should be able to address their grievances at any time. Freedom of speech, freedom to peacefully assemble, until they did throw a rock through Leiterkusen's window. I saw that on a live stream. Not funny. It kind of wasn't. People got real fired up. I saw the energy.
Taking a turn, Shane.
It did take a
turn. Look here, guys.
Well, it says on the sheet, don't be afraid to get meta and get
filled. Shane, let's go back to the docket here.
Look, don't forget to look at the other page. Just whistle through some of those names.
Come on, man. Read us off.
This is we're making
it. Oh, but yes, April 14th.
Oh, Lo-Fi.
Cherokee. You know, come with, bring a veggie pizza. You know what I mean?
No, we do need help. If we could get some really,
we do need some backup singers for the show. So if this comes out before then, which I know it will, or else.
We're playing at a place, just joking. A place that's like, El Gato. It stands for fish.
At 11 a.m.
Oh, nice.
And I've never been to the place, but I guess...
What does AM and PM stand for?
At morning and past morning.
I thought so, but is that actually... That's a scientific term?
No. I really just...
What is it, Shane?
No idea.
It's, what are those things you call... back in the day, they called them sand machines. They kept time. What are they called now? Hourglass.
Oh, you going to the Googles for it?
Sure.
Yes!
Hey, folks...
Yes. Here's another fact.
You're going to learn something today. All right?
Sure. Can I see that docket? I just want to see the docket.
Okay, yeah, let's go over the docket.
I'm just going to whistle through a couple of these. Okay. Talking Blues did that.
I can't pronounce this.
I found out
it's
Shane
Green, or is it Latin?
And?
Here we go.
Shane works for Wentzville School District.
Look at that. Yeah.
What does it mean?
It's in Latin, meaning midday. Yeah, before midday and past midday.
At morning, past morning. Okay, simple enough. Okay. Yeah.
Like you said.
Yeah.
Say over at meridium.
I guess anti meridium or something.
Anti meridium.
I don't speak Latin.
So. I don't. No one does. It's dead, bro. It's dead. See ya.
Shane gives us the capability and the vehicle through the podcast to get people's real opinions whenever you don't actually have time to talk to them when you're out at the clubs and bars. Sometimes there's some more information that came out of Nate Lowry that I did not know.
Yeah, totally.
I love that. I wouldn't thank him for
that's
that.
That's really the gist of the show. I mean, like, Nate's a great example. Like you said, like. is a guy I've been kind of keeping an eye on in town, and like this is a great opportunity for me to sit down and actually get to know him, like get to know a little more of the stories and stuff. Because like,
I want to just highlight what he just said real quick. What Drew just said about how, and you're affirming it, that conversations outside of a public sphere, can yield some pretty good results.
And you do that. You're not like real abrasive or something. I think you kind of relax people. I think you have this kind of calming energy, but people also want to be, I don't know, you just have this vibe that I think brings a different side of people out. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Some people have referred to this show like therapy, you know, like it's like...
And whenever I was writing down some of these questions, I thought, oh, good heavenly Lord, what are we doing here? This is, you know, good philosophical. Ask Neil about his relationship with Venice Cafe and the equipment. I don't even need to talk about that. But Cafe just gave Neil loads of equipment that they weren't using anymore because they got a better PA.
Also, don't forget to come to Venice Cafe on Monday nights. There's an open mic night.
The oldest one in the city. So
longest running open mic in St. Louis, Monday nights with me and Zach Sloan.
I love him, man. He's
a good dude.
I love him, too.
He's a trip.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah.
That's another great example. I feel like that podcast I did with him at Venice in the Boat Bar, like was I don't know. I loved it.
That was one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, it was.
That one got really real.
Yeah, it was.
You guys are literally talking about the modern world and facing suicide.
Yeah, depression
and all sorts of stuff.
There was a couple of really funny moments though too, like where people thought the bar was open and they like asking us for a drink and stuff. Like, and we're just doing a podcast. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Get out of here, please.
Yeah, no drinks here.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Talk about somebody asking the Native Sons. I keep just pumping the Native Sons. I have to keep mentioning them because
they're great.
Yeah, because they're really, really great. And they take off so quickly. They're totally in a different place than they were 3 months ago. But somebody asked them, you know, because in today's political arena and political correctness and so forth, they go, what about the Native daughters? And Tom's like, I'm going to do my best impression of Tom. Actually, we were all separated at birth. So that's the Native sons and daughters. I had to mention that. through all this stuff, do you ever see bands that break? Have you witnessed any band drama? Like through bands?
Yeah, you ever see that?
Any band drama? Yeah, ever? Oh. You ever seen it on any
avenue? In this process?
Yeah, in the podcast process or on stage?
I mean, not like necessarily on the mic or like,
Oh, so you have experienced some, just not on the mic?
Yeah, you know, I mean,
well, tell us about that.
I mean, I've been
let's put it on the mic right now.
Yeah.
You don't have to say their names.
People like some controversial stuff. I thought, you know, throw something.
Well, yeah, you should say their names and their socials.
Yes. Not that, like, you know, I don't know, like, it's not firsthand directly, but, like, the fact that, like, these are friends of mine, so I've been a part of, the journey, I've seen a lot of members changes and all kinds of, and things like that, so, like, they're maybe not exactly seeing, like, fights going on or whatever, things like that, but, like, you see certain things happen where, you know, bands, like, hey, this is not working out, and then we had to, you know, change a member out and different things, so... You know things are going on, and you're a part of that process with them, but, like, yeah, I wouldn't say anybody's, like, anything drama's really fizzled on the show or anything like that.
I think it becomes a metaphor for life, not just, and I always, I don't know why I think of this like this, but bands and playing out, you know, I'm 33, you're what, 30?
30? 30.
It's almost like playing, like, sports or something. It's like you're on a team. It's a good lesson for life on just how to interact with people.
What do you mean specifically?
Well... being able to communicate with people and kind of being up front or not being up front.
Right.
Addressing issues.
Whatever you choose to approach or however
you choose to address issues and so forth. Like the other, you know, how we're going to do a part of the song.
Right.
You know, or whatever. Like, and we kind
of... That was interesting, too, because there were a lot of people creatively, just to let you know what we're talking about, we came together on Wednesday night.
Yes, which we've never had a practice before.
Yeah, Ellis Express, it was our first
practice.
And we were trying to gather what we were going to do for the lo-fi session. And it was interesting because I came in and you guys both kind of had ideas. And then I feel like after the fact...
I was already in kind of like...
Neil was in Old Souls revival mode. He came in like a captain and told us to shot all our ideas down and told us to go take a hike. And then I said, but no, no, no. And I was saying all the wrong song titles, which was really weird. To my own songs. I don't know why. Because we work 40 hours a week and it was probably 11:30 by then and we were up hanging out. Anyway,
yeah,
whatever,
but
we do need
the give and take of...
we do that great.
Each.
Have we ever been pissed at each other?
No, not
I don't think we have.
I don't think. I hit him in the face accidentally one time with a mic stand.
Thought it chipped my tooth.
So, and I looked him in the eye and he was very upset. And I said, hey man, are you upset? And he said, no. And then later he's like, dude, I almost snapped. You know,
that's the only. Dude,
that's all right. That's
I don't
all right.
Like whenever Mike's.
I wish. I'm glad he hasn't hit me in the face with a damn mic stand.
For sure,
it was an accident. You know, like you ever like try to do something and it just gives while you're pulling. You know, like wow, like boom, like. Whoa! You know that, or you think something's extra light and it's
like when
heavy,
you get your wisdom teeth extracted. You know, yeah, what I mean? they're starting to dig her out in there. And just start, yeah, and then boom, it pops out and hits the
dude,
top of the ceiling.
What's up with that? Whenever you're getting that dental work and they get in there and your whole freaking jaw starts vibrating, just go, you're like, whoa, buckle up! It's like you're going to space.
You're facing your mortality.
I know, dude. You
that's,
have to let them do it. You have to just let them do it. It's
that's when
so
you, that's when you figure out how tough you really are.
Man, what is dental work? That is so bad.
For sure.
That is so bad.
I have to play it.
And you have to pay for it.
Yeah, you definitely have to pay for that. Yikes.
So this is a song I've always heard, but dude, I hear this song everywhere. You could be having a Talking Heads,
yeah,
you know,
maybe.
Channel on whatever system you're using, and Pandora, and dude, Toto will come on. You'll be at a church, and they'll play Toto. You can be at the weirdest bar, the Roughneck Hillbilly Bar, and they will play Toto.
Hear the drums echoing tonight.
I just had to do that because
it cracked it up. Let's just give a listen to this for a second.
Okay, we're trying to distort this just to see how much the microphone can take. That's a blue condenser mic.
She's coming in.
Here we go.
Let's just the moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation.
So this song is about Africa.
I stopped an old man along the way.
Anyway,
I just saw a really funny video. A guy took like his modular thing for his car dinger.
Uh-huh.
Like, and I don't know where
programmed
he had
it.
Well, he had one program with Africa on it. And so like when he starts his car, you hear, you know, it goes right into that, you know, like the but it's like you know, 8-bit or whatever, you know, like.
Oh, I love 8-bit.
Yeah,
that'd be hilarious.
There's a band called Rat-A-Tat that, well, they don't do 8-bit, but my friend that showed me Rat-A-Tat really liked 8-bit music.
Yeah.
That's a Grand Rapids, Michigan story.
we're 2 hours in?
I think so.
How are we doing on time?
Well,
let's just rifle through the docket here.
Shane the Troubadour, who we played his wedding. This podcast is connecting people.
Yes.
I love to listen to them at work. I love that. I love to, you know.
Not all of them are safe for work, though. Like,
you got videos or porn?
They're safe for my work because I work really
I mean, as long as you're playing. I mean, we're all doing it in headphones. You know,
yeah.
By the
we're all safe for headphones, right?
Kevin and Jerry, we're at the Wilkin Schneller Law Firm right now, and this is the perfect environment. And Shane, thank you for coming here.
Yeah.
We're here at the law firm, Lafayette Square.
Thanks, everybody.
It's comfortable, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes
run the docket. Come on. Let's get through that.
We're shooting for this to be the best podcast ever.
Maybe. nailed it.
Mention Wilkinson and Law, did that. Name drop as many people as you can. So if you could, Tom Love is in Atlas Express. Tom Blood, Jess Atkins, Gabe DeWarin,
Jacob Baxter.
Jacob Baxter, Matt Maher, honorary member, Gavin McNutt, straight up guitar slinger, psychedelic.
Go check metal. Out his album, Where Do
check
You Call
Gavin
Home?
Check out Gavin M. Check out Gavin M. Where Do You Call Home? Home yeah. can be.
Go check it
home
out.
Home can be in a dumpster, home can be on the ocean. Wherever you call home, that's listen, where you're at. Listen, home is where the heart's at.
Go check out Irene Allen. Go check out
she's
Funky
the Joan
Butt.
Baez of St. Louis.
Yeah, go check out Funky Butt Brass Band. Go check out Loop Rat from St. Louis. Go check out Glued. Go check out Fragile Farm. Go check out the Opera Bell Band.
It's a lot of people's
okay.
favorite band.
Yeah, go check
Ryan
out...
Ryan Koenig likes the Opera Bell Band, and he comes to the River City Opera to watch the Opera Bell
That's right.
Band.
Go check out Ryan Koenig. He definitely just put out a Ryan new Koenig. Album. Okay, go check out Ryan Koenig.
Yeah. Check out Jack Grelli when you're in Europe. Go see him in Italy. And know that the new hip thing to do is to tour Europe, and it's even more hip when you have a tour bus and you don't have to rent hotel rooms anymore.
Go check out Stacey Winter and Beth Bombara.
Check out the River Kittens. Go and River Kittens, thank you for being there for us when we have house parties and stuff. I'm going to mention that
Mama,
too.
Mama, you would hate me if you so screw me, and I just drinking a lot of whiskey. Do you miss me?
You don't know, it's okay.
Say this, it's not easy. All these St. Louis hoods that really need rock paper podcast. If alcohol and women seem to feed Neil, he's thirsty. Anyway,
I'm 30.
Yes, yes.
Here we go. Ready, here, let's end it the same way we started it. You ready? Oh, we're not? Okay, what's the rest of the docket?
Oh, we got one
look,
more on the docket. Shane,
docket.
We got,
here we go. Okay,
go for it. Whistle through those.
Oh, Falling Fences.
Yeah, we have to mention Falling Fences has their own beer now. I'm sure you've seen it.
Logboat Broom.
Yes, and it's so smooth drinking. It's so good. It's an Irish ale.
Oh, I meant to say, too, I love Nick Gussman. I love David Beeman. I love...
I mentioned those on that list, didn't I?
No, I didn't see it. But,
it's on there.
I believe it. I also love Elliot Pearson. I love Jeremy Reedy and Josiah Joyce and Dan Ficicelli and actually Matt Maher, my band. But
what about PJ Kennedy?
I love PJ.
I love PJ so much; it's ridiculous.
Also, yeah, man, that's
great. Gonna tell a story about PJ. PJ, great. I know that there's a question on the Facebook thing. Anyway, go ahead, keep going.
Oh yeah, what did PJ ask?
PJ.
Oh, how do you stay perfectly caffeinated, Drew?
Okay, so check this out, PJ. Okay. Here it is, PJ. I know you've been waiting for this, just because these are like our little pen pal love letter. Podcasts that we give to each other. Okay. I was up at South Broadway Athletic Club filming a little documentary for a guy that named Rick Lanius that were inducting the Rock and Roll, excuse me, the Boxing Hall of Fame.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame!
The South Broadway Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It was the Boxing Hall of Fame. And his good friend Megan Ryan, who Kevin Wilkins dates, anyway.
Wilkinson.
Yeah, Wilkinson Law Firm. Anyway, we're up there, and I see this thing. I just, you know, you pop open your Facebook, you scroll through the feed. PJ says, friends, come to Nick's Pub. I'm playing till 2, and I'm thinking, man, it's already late. There ain't nobody else out. Let's go to Nick's Pub. What I did not see is that PJ said, calling all friends, I need help. I've lost my voice. So I showed up. I've never seen PJ so happy to see me. I didn't know. So anyway, I sat in for him, and it was an interesting crowd. You can imagine the Knicks pub crowd, you know, the late night Knicks.
What
pub
day of the week?
This was on a Saturday.
Oh, boy.
So he goes, dude, oh, thank you so much for coming. I cannot sing. And he was bad. I mean, he was in bad shape, but he was up there just ripping some solos on the acoustic, and he had a good Bose system. So I got up there, and I was like, I'm going to straight up just go into character. And I had the Greek, I had the Greek fisherman's cap on, and I got as low as I go.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. And just for you, you know, I'll try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very...
Anyway, but I was like pushing hard. And I've never seen this happen. There was a couple of people there. And they were like looking at their friends and like starting to point, like going like... Who is this weirdo? Like, they liked it though, and I was pulling their tails a little bit. I was pulling. Oh, anyway. So we played, and then him and I jammed together, and it was amazing. And he's, I get this big old box downstairs. He goes, Drew, you have mail down here. I go, what kind of? I was expecting a harmonica and an amplifier. I go, how big is the box? They go, kind of like a shoebox. I'm like, not a harmonica, not an amplifier. I go down there, I open it up. It's so much coffee.
Where's this?
Down here, downstairs. PJ Kennedy sends me an Amazon big old box just full of all this organic coffee. And he go, and there's a little, and I'm like, who is this? I was like, this is some ex-girlfriend or something. I know.
Dude, PJ, classy as fuck. Peach.
PJ. And anyway, there's a little, Kevin found a little letter in there. I said, thank you so much. He said, I asked what your favorite whiskey was, and Kevin said, coffee would probably be better. I think that's a ploy for him to get more free coffee at the office. And he said, thanks for helping me. So I'm perfectly caffeinated, and PJ Kennedy is in my heart. Every time I make a little cup of that Volcanica certified organic, freshly ground coffee. PJ, I love you. And also, PJ played the Ellis Express at South Broadway Athletic Club, and we played an 8-hour game. For Taste of Soulard.
Yeah, we do. Ellis Express, folks. Go check us out.
Yeah, feel free to do it. Feel free to do that.
Yeah.
Feel free to do that. We like to have a
good
time.
What do you think, Shane? Should we go over the rest of the docket? What's going on?
Neil lost a pick in there. Don't you know how to get a pick out of a guitar? You should be way better doing that by now. I mean, seriously.
I got it out. Chill out. What are you talking about?
I hold you to a high standard.
Yeah. Well, all right, look. Falling Fences, they got a beer. This says Proud Boy, Drew. What's going on
Let's
here?
Let's talk about Mike Lassiter.
Okay, here we go. Usually,
this is not going to go down some rabbit hole, but you want to explain it?
I think what's happening here is what Drew is mentioning is that there is a gentleman by the name of Mike Lassiter who, you know, has always been kind to us. However, he...
And he's a hell of a musician, too.
Yeah, he can play and sing real well. He almost got in a fight with another gentleman, Brad Jackson, at one of our shows. And
they
also
didn't fight because we told him not to.
Yeah, we tried to...
We cooled it down.
Yeah, we wanted to.
We don't like to fight.
But the point being is that he participates in a group that, you know, none of us participate in. And he, like, has us as his...
At one point, he did the little symbol to the club in front of our band to make it look like...
Yeah, we were supporting or something. I don't know.
I just thought that was interesting. So weird stuff like that sometimes happens. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
He wrote that here, and to be honest, a Proud Boy almost got in a fight at our show because they tried to take a photo of somebody, and that person didn't want their photo taken. So that's pretty much the story, right?
And what did we do?
We played music.
That was it. Anyway, yeah. Nothing ever happened. We just kept our mouths shut.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was interesting. I thought. I don't know. Any other weird stories you have, Neil? Something that comes up in your daily life that you
we got.
I was punched in the face while back.
When?
A few weeks back.
No way, a few weeks?
Yeah. Oh,
that makes me sad.
At a Cluster Pluck show.
Why? Oh, because you were the door guy.
Yep.
You're bouncing.
Yeah. And, but I was like, I don't know, I just thought it was funny. I was thinking, like, if, you know, fighting at an LS show, like, and, you know, getting me being punched at a cluster pluck show. I was like, what?
Total,
you know,
bad
this,
trip.
I was like, this crazy rock and roll music gets these kids.
They get too riled up.
For sure.
No wonder they're all cautious of it back then, yeah. You know? So what was the circumstances surrounding that, Shane? Can I ask her?
Well, yeah, I can give you the story if you want.
Yeah, let's hear it.
There was a man. He came in, large guy about my size, construction worker, still had his shirt, you know, uniform shirt on, and he was getting a little obnoxious inside, I guess, and we were told to ask him to leave, and then he got up in our face and was like, you know, fuck you, and all this, and we didn't take too kindly to that,
sure.
And we escorted him out the door, and we thought that was it, and it wasn't. He came back a little later, and we have this like awning out there in the front, and he's like passed out, leaning up against it, forehead first, and like. And I'm like, so I walk, we had a customer who's like, hey, you know, this guy's out here passed out. And I'm like, so I go out there and say, hey, need to keep...
Mosey on.
Need to keep moving, yeah. I'm like, you know, I didn't say I didn't touch him. I didn't say, you know, wasn't aggressive at all. I was right. Just said, hey, you need to keep moving, buddy. And then again, he started with all the, you know, fuck you stuff. And I was like, thank you, have a good night, you know, and all this. Some girls like from ballpark were down there, and they like laughed about that I was, you know, just being nice and saying that, and like, and
oh, you thought that was you taking a dig at him, or they thought that, or they,
well, whatever, I don't know, I'm just trying to, you know, be
friendly,
cordial, you know,
I'm, yeah, like, I'm not need to be any, don't be yeah, passed out right, here, it's yeah, pretty simple, yeah.
And so I turn, and when they laughed, I kind of turned and I look, and they sucker punched me in the side of the head, and then continued to punch me in the face. And knocked my glasses off, and then I fell down, and by that time, like, I don't know if they said, whoever said something, but the whole bar, like, cleared out and, like, ran out there and pinned this guy down until the police showed up. And
Uncle!
Yeah.
He said.
Right. So we sent his ass to the drunk tank for the
dude,
weekend. And,
what a jerk.
I was like, you gotta be pretty... That takes a special person to be passed out drunk and still...
On the forehead.
Right.
How many times do you...
I looked at... When you said passed out using his forehead, I looked over at Drew, and Drew was just like, what? Forehead? Like, that thickened the plot. I agree.
I've never heard that.
I've never heard anybody
pass out drunk stage still hitting somebody. I thought it was going to be somebody else.
Yeah, you went from, passed out to fighting me. I was like, it was a crazy night.
Sucks, so, man.
Yeah. So,
did you heal up pretty good?
You know, that's the thing.
Did you break your glasses?
No, it was just, he just knocked them off my face.
They look straight as can be.
I had a little cut on my cheek from when my glasses got knocked off, and then busted my lip a little bit, but like, I didn't even have a black eye or anything. I'm like, I don't know, it was weird. Like, I was getting punched in the face. Like, I don't fight, like, it's just not me. Like,
sure,
I don't even know when, like, the last time was like. Stuff with my little brother, like when we totally. Were, you know, kids, and like, and so like I'm getting punched in the face, and I'm like, is this even real? Like,
right.
I didn't even think that like this was like a thing. Like,
and it didn't even hurt. Probably.
Yeah, no, I didn't really like. I mean, of course, like at that point too, like adrenaline. Really right. Nice, like,
yeah.
So.
That's what I've always been quite interested in. If you ever do get punched. I don't know.
You're heightened.
Got hit by some pretty, you know, big boys at one point. You know,
yeah.
And I'm like, dude.
I've been punched a lot. I've been beat up, you know, a lot.
Sure.
And growing up and stuff. And I think it's weird because I've never, it goes both ways. I've never gotten beat up and been like, okay, cool. Yeah, my bad. And then I've never stomped somebody and had my friend stomp somebody and then be like, oh, sorry. Yeah, you're so right. It's like, they go get 5 or 7 friends and come
yeah.
stomp us. And then it's like, oh, then we get our older brothers or something. You know,
sure.
It's like, it never once has someone been like, oh, dude, you were so right. I'm sorry.
Violence,
it's like,
violence.
Yeah, it even has to go to like the UFC where there's a ref. Because dudes will just keep standing up.
Right.
Even though they're just like, duh, like they're dozed. But they're like, no. I'm fine. The ref has to call it. He's like,
sure.
Nah, this dude's out of it. You know, this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, that's another thing. I is fun to mention. There are never any fights in our whole the music scene.
Except at our show.
I rarely see. But seriously, being in like a city or whatever, I mean, there was more fights back in my hometown by far.
You get the bar going.
It's also the local, you're hanging out
at the local. At the local. A lot of fights at Pinckneyville, probably on the weekend regular. Friday, Saturday, you're going to have a fight.
I've never seen a fight, and that wasn't even really a fight. I guess he...
Remember, we were getting called names when we were just down in Pinckneyville. When we played down at Twisted Vine, remember that? Probably. We went to KC Hall, we had those pizzas.
Maybe.
Some veggie pizzas.
Well, we did have some veggie pizzas. We had three.
I don't remember that. No, I don't.
We actually cooked, you know the like ones you could buy at the store, like tombstones? We had two.
The Twisted Vine is a
proud sponsor, Rock River Podcast.
Yes. We had two of those suckers, Shane, and then we just said, throw in a third. We ate three between LS Express.
This guy can whistle. He could go. He could do the king whistle.
Yes. They had a whistling, like they bonded over it.
Oh, I never heard anybody do a whistle like that, except for, you know, Matthew Quesada. Oh, I didn't, what about, you have to say that we love Matthew Quesada. And Tracy.
We love Matthew and Tracy and
Phil. We have to name drop all the people that would maybe click on the link and listen.
Well, the more we name, the more he'll tag.
That's right. Nick Gussman.
We already said Nick Gussman. I said Elliot Pearson.
Nick Gussman.
I said Brad Jackson, the fighting side.
Nate Lowry, Dan Turner.
Oh, let's not forget about Gaslight.
Jacob Baxter. Kurt Copeland.
And Pono AM.
Pono. Josh Frederick.
That's right.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Festus. Crystal City. Vandalia. Jesse That's McClary. Right. Zach Anderson.
That's right.
Zach Gibbons.
That's right.
Jeremy Reedy. Oh, yeah, we have a show at Beachwood tomorrow night.
Yeah, it won't be
the up. Beachwood.
Unless he throws this sucker up unedited for 3 hours straight. we got a show at Beachwood. Let's run through the shows, Drew.
Let's just run through the shows.
Yeah, but in the meantime,
we got some gigs we're very excited about because my favorite gig to play.
Yeah, we play a lot of gigs. One of my favorite ones is
playing on a Vandalia State House lawn. Can you give me that beat again? I like that. What I'm talking about. So here we coming in. Tomorrow at Beachwood. April 13th, Jamapalooza Lingerie Pajama Party. We played it
Where?
Tonight. We're headlining. Livery Company. Thank you, sir. Talk is also playing that. That's hosted by Basam. He's going to be the MC. And also Nene. That's going to be a good one. Lo-Fi Cherokee. April 14th, LS Express on Cherokee Street at El Gato Delicacy Mexican Seafood. Keep that beat. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Ellis Express at the Sinkhole. April 29th with the Oswalds and Kazan. Greg. I love Greg. Greg from the Oswalds. You'll meet him soon. You have that guy on the top. Oh, I love him. He's one of my favorite rock and rollers in this town by far. Really has an education about rock and roll. He does anything from his own songs to David Bowie. Okay? Then we're playing the Sinkhole artists. We're playing the Candidate Manifestation. That's a yoga party. McCann, Illinois. That's the one that voted one of the biggest hippie towns in America. That's right. That's 8:30 p.m. McCann. It's called Manifestation. Venice Cafe, May 12th, LS Express, 9 p.m. Neil got the hookup with the Venice. That's like a whole family. Whenever Jeff takes you in the back, that's when you know. Anyway. Canton Inn coming back at you June 2nd, LS Express, 7 p.m. June 16th or 17th. LS Express at the RFT Showcase in the Grove. My landlord calls that Grove Fest. Brian says, man, let me know about Grove Fest. That sounds insane. I'm going to bring my kid.
Shout out to Brian.
Brian, we love you. Okay. This is the most fun I've had ever in my life. LS Express, June 23rd, Cree Fest, which is actually being all booked by Brad Jackson.
Shout out to Cree Rider and
Cree
the family
Rider
band.
Cree Rider and the family band. That's
Cree,
right.
Cree, we love you.
Cree keeping it real. Okay. Mellow Mushroom that night. We got a gig because a guy saw us at the Wildflower and he said, hey man, would you like to play the Mellow Mushroom? And he said they got a specific decibel level that we're supposed to play at. I said, you just hook us right up. We'll play for 3 hours, sir.
His name's Charlie. He showed up and he had a good old time.
Charlie's super cool.
Let me tell you.
And he was with like five girls. Charlie was the Manson of the family. Okay, so we're playing Mellow Mushroom. Then we're going back at Canton Inn on August 10th. We book him way out there. Don't tell John Henry or you might not get
August 10th. That's the day before my birthday.
Now imagine, and then we got September 15th, that was expressed at Turner Fest in Mount Olive, Illinois. September 15th, Kara and Adam's wedding, September 21st, Elvis Express and Candy again. And the big one, the big finale, rock a little harder for this one. September 29th on the State House lawn at the second state capital of Illinois in Vandalia, Eels with Abe. That's my favorite gig to play ever. I get to go to where I took field trips when I was a youngster and then go rock on the State House lawn. I play electric for that one.
What are we going to play there?
We're going to play all your favorite drinking songs, talking blues, and rock and roll. This has been the best podcast ever, I think I've ever had. I feel like I'm on like Joe Rogan or something. Except we're not getting very political. Can we get really weird? I mean, how weird? Neil, can you tell us about your relationship with, I mean, what's it like to date a river kid? I mean, what's that like? I mean, does she like sing the shopping list?
It's weird to date someone that's in the best band in the city. It's weird.
I bet it is. I mean, you guys just ever make sweet music?
We've made a song or two.
You guys got your own? That's another band you're in.
Ray and Nina.
Ray and Nina.
That's right. Hey, folks, don't forget to go check out Backwash, Ray and Nina, River Kittens,
Old Soul Survival, Old Capitol Square Dance Club,
LS Express, Old Capitol Square Dance Club. You can go check out Josh Brophy.
Yeah, Josh. You should go check out
Leg Ponds.
Lisa.
You should go check out
Houdini.
Lisa Houdini.
If you do talk to text and you say, call Lisa Houdini or whatever.
It says, calling Lisa Houdini.
Calling Lisa Houdini. Or if you do talk to text, it'll be Houdini. So we just, it's Houdini.
Let's do a song for him.
I don't know, man. I don't want to play. How about...
Get out!
one more harmony to end it. Here we go. Alright, here we go. Rock, paper, podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.